Welcome back to Romanticy, a podcast created by Dipsy. I'm your host, Faye Keegan. Last week, we listened to an extra spicy, immersive bonus episode of Wings of Winter. And this week, we start a new series, Pinedale Falls. We are leaving the world of fae and elves and dragons, and we are entering the world of modern America plus werewolves. As a reminder, we have many more hot, spicy, romanticy characters like Rowan and others, and extra special immersive audio experiences available right now on the Dipsy app. And you can use code Romanticy to get 30 days free to explore that at dipsystories.com. That's dipseastories.com/romanticy to get 30 days free to explore that. We're dropping a small amount of our very big library right here on this podcast. We want to explore the rest of what we make. It's available on the app right now. Pinedale Falls is the first werewolf series we did at Dipsy, and it was actually made and released for Halloween. Is it spooky? No. We have a true aversion at Dipsy to making anything that is scary at all. There is no fear in the Dipsyverse. As we say, nothing bad ever happens. So while there is Halloween-y elements like werewolves and there's a full moon, I wouldn't say it's really spooky or scary at all. But it is extremely fun and I think has a really just delightful balance between story and sex. We'll be dropping 3 episodes here on the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. But here is episode 1 of Pinedale Falls.
The day you blew into Pinedale Falls didn't feel like anything real special. I didn't have a lick of intuition that you were about to show up on the ranch and change my life forever. And that's just like you, ain't it? Unpredictable and wily as Wyoming weather. The sky was the same blue it always was that time of year, stretching on for miles and crisp as ever. And when I looked to the horizon, the Tetons rose reliably like sentinels. I do recall thinking that summer had finally gotten up and left us for good after a few false alarms. When I let the horses out to pasture that morning, they bucked and hopped, the heavy chill of autumn making them fresh. I suppose I better start at the beginning. I'd been working on Dan Coulter's ranch for the past 5 years. I grew up in town, and as much as the man got on my nerves, we were like brothers. Well, more than that. We were part of the same pack. The thing about Pinedale is, it might look like a typical Western town. We've got the jacked up trucks and dive bars you'd come to expect in the boonies of Wyoming. Of course, we've got a real prideful people too. Ranchers, farmers, hardworking type folk. The thing we also got though, and what you ain't likely to get from the postcard or the history books, is that this place is absolutely crawling with supernatural fuckery. I myself am a werewolf. And I come from a long line of them. My father and my father's father before me were all part of the Pinedale Falls pack. This life, it's supposed to feel like a blessing. At least that's how my packmates feel. They've got real pride for our kind. If you ask me, though, it's nothing but a curse. When we turn, we gain animal instincts, but we lose much of what makes us human. Dan, the alpha of the pack, seems to think it's our right to hunt whenever and whatever we want. But I don't agree. In fact, there's a lot he's done that I don't agree with. Like inviting you to live on the ranch. I think it's going to be good to have some female energy on the farm, Wilder, Dan said to me, as if inviting a human woman new to the territory with no cattle experience to live on our ranch wasn't the most irrational thing he'd ever suggested in his history of running this place. You've got to be kidding me, Dan. I can assure you I'm not. Just last week, you said that out-of-towners were only good for bringing in tourist dollars, I said. Yeah, well, I just got a feeling about this one. She grew up on the East Coast, but she knows how to work. Her dad's a fisherman or something like that. Fish ain't horses, Dan. Why do I have a feeling this is more about you taking a shining to her than it is about needing extra hands here? Loosen up, Wilder. She's gonna be here in an hour and I'm gonna get her set up with a room. And later we can pick out one of the nice old geldings to take care of her. Plus, she'll have me and you here to show her the ropes. Why don't you shut your mouth and finish mucking the stalls? He smirked at me, then turned, heading out the kitchen door. I started muttering under my breath. Arrogant alpha, piece of... What was that, Wilder? I sighed and headed into the barn. I'd been working for a few hours when my pocket radio buzzed. Phones didn't work well out here, seeing as there was no service. Dan wanted me to tack up a horse and bring him out to the ring for you. He wanted to test your mettle. I figured I'd bring out one of the older, gentler geldings. An old feller who wouldn't spook easy and knew all the trails here as good as I did. Most out-of-towners always came in cocky, asking for the hottest, fastest horse in the place, and they usually ended up dumped on their asses in the first few minutes. I went to grab Scout. He was a good old boy who was sweet and would surely take it easy on you, the newcomer. Werewolves can't communicate with other animals directly, but we can sense their energy a good deal more than humans can. I was about to bring him out when the radio buzzed again. Dan asked me to grab Honey. I thought I misheard him. Honey was one of the meanest mares we had. A typical chestnut mare. The kids last summer called her the Red Dragon. And they weren't wrong. We'd named her Honey as a joke the day she first came off the truck, swung around and tried to kick my head clear off my shoulders. She'd learned who was in charge since then, but she was feisty as hell, smart, always testing limits. Some horses listen to you because they like listening. Horses like Scout will try his best for you no matter who you are. Honey'll test every rider that mounts her, and she'll start testing your skills before you even leave the ground. You've got to be kidding me, I buzzed. She says she knows what she's doing. She'll be all right, he said. I'm not bringing her that son of a bitch horse. It wasn't a question, Wilder. I had no choice but to bring her out. Dan didn't say outright that it was a command, but he didn't need to. My muscles reacted involuntarily and I began saddling up Honey, even though I didn't want to. Dan was the alpha. And when he made an order, we had no choice but to obey it. Just another perk of being in a pack. Dan was alpha because he was the strongest wolf in the pack. When he turned, he was downright fearsome. And even in the form of a man, he ran pretty wild. At 6'7", he stood a good 2 inches above me. He couldn't outrun me, though. I had him on speed. And in my mind, I was also a good deal more reasonable. Dan had a brash charisma that drew people to him. But he was reckless. He dated just about every woman in town who wasn't taken, and the ones who were too. Let's just say he let his animal instincts lead him, no matter what form he was in, which I wouldn't have a problem with if it didn't put our pack in extreme fucking danger. Our existence was for very obvious reasons a secret, and keeping it such was essential to our survival. Most wolves had been hunted out of the area already. If people caught wind that there were men turning into them, we were screwed. The last place you wanted to be outed as a werewolf was in a land full of cattle ranchers. And it wasn't just that. I was of the mind that Dan's sexual proclivities weren't exactly safe for his partners either. When our kind gets excited, it can send us into a kind of frenzy. Most of us have worked for years to keep our primal urges in check. But Dan was of the mind that keeping civility was tantamount to being put in a cage. To Dan, being a werewolf was a point of pride. For me, it was an existence to be tolerated. Sure, turning was exhilarating. To run under the light of the moon, to feel the wind in your fur, it is downright divine. But I sure don't relish the potential for harm. Werewolves don't hunt humans. But it's not uncommon for one to get caught in our crosshairs. I hope that you weren't some new pet of Dan's. I sighed and got to tacking up Honey. She nipped at me when I first slipped the halter on her head and tried to charge me in the stall. I got a little wolfy on her and she quieted up quick, but she was skittish and hot, dancing in the cross ties as I saddled her, her ears high, her breath huffing through her nose, steaming in the cool air. The first real cold day had gotten to her too, and she was fresher than usual, looking for a reason to act up. But I had to do what Dan said. I slipped the bridle over her stiff ears, and she blew and flared her nostrils at me and led her out to the ring. I could see from across the field you were in city clothes. Pants that wouldn't stand a chance from a thicket snare and a shirt too thin for this weather. And I knew that having you here was going to be a hindrance to getting any kind of work done on the ranch. Out-of-towners always moved out here with some romantic idea of the West, but split as soon as they had to get their hands dirty. There was plenty I should have been doing that day other than teaching some fisherman's daughter how to ride a horse, and a plenty difficult mare at that. I hope that you found Dan to be an arrogant ass and headed out real quick. But my hopes weren't too high. Dan was more in the habit of breaking hearts than getting his own broken. I was about to holler a begrudging hello at you both when the wind picked up and carried the scent of you over to me. I stopped dead in my tracks. The smell of you turned my blood hot and made my animal instincts stir. It was like nothing I'd ever experienced before. Intoxicating, delicious, alluring. There weren't enough words in the damn dictionary for me to explain what I was picking up on. I'd never been to New England, but you smelled exactly how I imagined it would come autumn. The sweet musk of fallen leaves mixed with the sweetness of cinnamon and citrus. I breathed in carefully through my mouth as to avoid another full inhale of your scent. Still, it swirled all around me, teasing and taunting me. I could practically taste it on my tongue. I cursed my animal senses over and over as I tried to clear my head so Dan wouldn't hear me thinking about you. One of the biggest pains of being a wolf is that the rest of the pack can hear your thoughts when you're in close range. Most of the time, we tune each other out of respect. But when one of us has a big emotional spike or learns something surprising, it's like the volume in our minds is turned way up. It's almost impossible to ignore. I'm a private person, so I'd spent many years working to keep the tenor of my mind calm enough that it was difficult for the others to pick up on much of what I was thinking unless they were standing real close to me. I approached cautiously and you smiled at me real big. I couldn't smile back at you. Not that I would have anyway, because my teeth were gritted trying to keep a tight leash on my mind which was busy freaking out about your fucking intoxicating smell. I tipped my hat to you briskly, keeping my distance. Welcome, I grumbled. Don't mind him. Wilder's got no real manners, Dan said to you. Oh, I don't mind, you said. I come from a long line of unfriendly men. New Englanders are as salty as they come. We might surprise you out here, Dan said. Wyoming people don't take kindly to strangers. Well, you've been pretty friendly, you said to Dan, and he flashed you a smile. Absolutely shameless, I thought. And then I heard Dan in my thoughts laughing. I flashed Dan a look, and he just shrugged his shoulders at me. You seemed to pick up on our invisible communication. I saw your brow furrow and took note that I'd have to be careful around you. I wasn't sure if you were just nosy or perceptive, but either way, I'd have to make sure we didn't draw any suspicion, because Lord knows Dan wasn't going to do any work to protect you from the truth. So, are we going to ride or what? You asked. Then you pushed your hair behind your ear, sending a dizzying wave of your scent over to me. I gritted my teeth again. Honey had stopped dancing and was standing with her ears forward, breath steamy. She was alert, ready to run off as soon as I gave her the chance. She's a handful, I said. If you've never ridden before, you might want to consider an easier horse. You crossed the distance between us, and I held my breath as the scent of you got torturously strong. What the hell were you doing approaching Honey like that? She didn't take kindly to strangers. She pinned her ears and bared her teeth at you as you approached, pawing at the ground like the red dragon she was. I jerked the rein a bit in warning and she huffed, but you didn't flinch as you took the reins from my hand. You gave her a look and a firm handle. She knew you meant business. She kept her ears pinned but stopped dancing and pawing. You'd passed the first test. What the hell? I'd never seen Honey size someone up and shut up so quickly. Hell, maybe you did know what you're doing. Can I have a leg up? You asked. Round here, we just put our own foot in the stirrup and haul ourselves up, I said. Well, I've never actually sat in one of these saddles, you said, somewhat sheepishly. I grew up writing English. I know what I'm doing, but I'm new to this. Well, let me help you up. But this is the last time I do it. And hold on to this old girl's face. She's likely to test you as soon as your butt hits that saddle. Oh, don't worry, you said with a wink. I'm ready for it. The Red Dragon delivered. As soon as your feet were in the stirrups and I'd stepped away, she dropped her head and spun, giving you the buck and spin that had gotten me the first time I'd gotten on her. But you sat it like a born and bred cowboy, leaning back and hauling up on the reins to stop her in her tracks. She went to rear, but you legged her on, running her a few times around the ring, letting her shake off some of that autumn chill and regain her head a bit. Your position in the saddle was a bit off to me, and I'd have to teach you how to hold your reins in one hand, but you weren't lying. You could ride. Dan was delighted, whooping and hollering in the center of the ring, winking at me like he was the one riding Honey. When you pulled up to meet us at the center, Honey was docile as a lamb. One ear flicked back to listen to you, stretching her neck out as you gave her a few swift pats. Never thought I'd see the day. Dan saddled up and he threw me an invitation to come riding with you both, give you a tour of the property. There was nothing I wanted to do less than that. I shook my head. There was work that needed to be done. I didn't have time for a joyride, even though I knew Ghost would love to stretch his legs today. That animal loved to run as much as I did. And it was a real great day to hit the trails. The leaves were just beginning to turn, and I'm sure the wind would be whistling through the junipers and firs. Someone had to get this place ready, though. Dan had big plans to make Coulter Ranch into a vacation spot by the next summer. But if that were to happen, it would need some real elbow grease before any rich out-of-towners would want to consider staying on the ranch. Every floorboard creaked, and in the winter the wind found its way under the eaves, and the house was cold as all hell. The barn would need to be expanded, and we'd need more horses. There's that leak in the roof I gotta tend to before we get any rain, I said. I'll help, you said. You just enjoy your ride. I'm not on vacation, you said. I'm here to work. I want to learn. I don't need any help. I turned on my heel and headed towards the house. Be nice, Dan growled in my mind, and I rolled my eyes. I was happy to be away from the both of you. I didn't mind the work, in fact. My mind always felt calmest when my hands were the busiest. I just started unfastening the screws and fasteners to loosen the leaky piece when I saw you marching across the field towards the house. What did you want now? I thought you were still out on a ride with Dan. You climbed up the ladder before I could stop you. Jesus Christ. I told you I wanted to learn, you said when you reached the roof. Fine, I huffed. But I don't feel like making conversation. Let's just keep it to the task at hand, all right? All right, you agreed. We worked in relative silence for the next few hours, and I had to admit you were pretty helpful. By the time the sky started turning dusty and pink, we'd patched up two roof holes and fixed the sliding barn door. You'd even helped me get the turned-out horses in for the day and make the rounds to hay and water them all. Hell, you even offered to do night check on them at 3 a.m. I hated to admit it, but you were damn near as industrious as me. You picked things up real quick and you were good with the horses. Didn't mean I liked you, though, or that I thought it was a good idea to have you around. I wasn't completely animal, though. I still had some human manners. When the sun was setting, I offered you a beer, and we cracked it open on the front porch. You know you can talk now, I said. You rolled your eyes and said, who said I wanted to talk to you? Touché, I said, laughing a bit at your joke. That was some real good work out there today. Thank you, I said. And I meant it. Do you want dinner? Dan was talking a real big game about some homemade cornbread and chili tonight. I'm good, I said. I better take Ghost out for a ride before the storm. You looked out at the clear sky, currently changing from a vibrant orange to red. Then you looked at me like I was insane. It's gonna rain tonight, I shrugged. Weather changes here real fast. Guess I'll have to take your word for it. I could feel energy coming off of Ghost in waves. He was a young one, a new project of mine, green, but brave. It had been a day or two since we had a real good ride. He'd been out in the paddock running with the other geldings, of course, but he was the kind of horse that had a lot of steam that needed to be burnt off. Guess we were alike in that way. I saddled him up as he stamped and danced in the cross ties, and we headed out towards a favorite trail. It wound up the ridge and through a grove of birch trees before opening up into a big flat plain where I could let him run. It felt good to get far away and clear my head. There was an electric feeling in the air. The storm was sure to bring thunder. I could have kept going for hours, but it was foolish to journey too far with a storm rolling in. I turned Ghost and headed back towards the house. Once we were within a mile, the thoughts of the pack started filtering in. Most of them lived close enough that I could hear them when I was on the ranch. I wasn't far when the sounds of desire rumbled in my mind like thunder. Clearly, Dan was thinking about you. More specifically, thinking about having sex with you, and was not doing anything to shield his thoughts from the rest of us. Fucking shameless animal, I muttered. As I approached the house, the rain started coming down in sheets, and silver streaks of lightning lit up the dark sky. I rubbed Ghost down good before putting him up for the night. I snuck up to my room and got into bed. I couldn't help but wonder if you were in Dan's room with him, but then I heard the sound of your laugh and knew for sure that you were. Fucking hell. I put my pillow over my head, hoping the two of you would go to bed soon. But then I began hearing the sounds of you together. I could pick up on the subtlest of noises, the rustling of sheets, his hands running through your hair, the unzipping of your jeans. Once you started having sex, even the thunder couldn't drown you two out. I was fucking furious. It's not like I hadn't heard Dan had sex before. The house was small enough that there wasn't much privacy, but something about hearing him with you was riling me up. Anger coursed through me like a drug. I could feel that my body wanted to turn. My muscles ached and tensed, and my skin grew hot. This was bad. Really, really fucking bad. Turning anywhere near a human was dangerous, let alone a few doors down from one. I threw open my window, crouched, and jumped, landing softly on the grass a floor below. I took off towards the tree line, water pelting my back and soaking my shirt. When I reached the woods, I tore off my clothes and let the rage course through my body fully. I needed to burn whatever this feeling was off. I let myself turn. Pain enveloped me for a moment, and then there was relief. No more human thoughts. Just the sound of the forest and the rain and my own breath as I ran as far as I could into the night.